Well, good morning, everybody here in the coffee shop. Great to see all the smiling faces. It's a wonderful place to be to study God's word. I'm so blessed that the Lord allows me to share his word out of his living word, which is alive today in this world. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get started this morning, bless this message and let the Holy Spirit just pour out amongst us as we study your living word on Christ's kingdom glory. The interesting thing about it was a few days ago, as I was doing my morning study, I asked the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I don't know what kind of message I'd like to do next. So he told me kingdom glory. I go, wow. So I said, Christ's kingdom glory. God just told me he wanted me to do this message. So then later that day, I think I did that message and completed it the same day that he told me about. So I think it was yesterday. So it's kind of amazing how God works. Well, let's go ahead and get started here this morning. What does the Bible say about Christ's kingdom glory? There are many scriptures in his holy word speaking of this. Well, let's first look in the Old Testament, starting off with Psalm 24:10. And it says, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And Selah means, think about that, if you find that in the scriptures. Psalms 45:6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And we look in Psalms 103:19. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That's an interesting statement. His kingdom rules over all. Let's move on to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is so awesome, isn't it? That is just so awesome. We read in Isaiah 32:1 where it says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. As we look at these scriptures, we see how just and righteous King Jesus is. There is a great reward for us Christians. What a great king who has all these characters and loves us so very, very much. Isaiah 33:22 says, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. And yes, he will save us. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. In the Bible, Zion means Israel. Now let's look in 1 Chronicles 29:11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Now we're looking down to Daniel 7:27 says, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. That is us. That is us. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, found in him. Zechariah 14:9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name one. That's very important to remember. The Lord is one and his name is one. Continuing on, Christ's glory. Now we'll be looking in the New Testament, and there's so much information out there. I couldn't gather all the information we needed, but it would be too long. As we look into the New Testament about Christ's kingdom glory, we might say it can be found in him, and all the great things that he did while on earth would be considered Christ's kingdom glory. Matthew 4:23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Jesus has some warnings found in the book of Matthew. And one of them is found in Matthew 5:19-20. It says, "Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." This is why I am very careful about sharing God's holy word. And I do not add to or take away from the words written in his holy scripture. You know, it's easy to say, "I will do it now, but you will find out later." You know, that's why when I share God's holy word and somebody asks me a question about something, and if I don't know, I just tell them, "I don't know, but I'll look it up and I'll tell you later." Instead of making something up that I think is correct, I always say, "No, I don't know. I'll look it up later." Because I don't want to be found accountable of doing this, because it displeases the Lord very much. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Matthew 18:3, "And said, 'Surely, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.' And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." Speaking of the end will come, I would like to read Revelation 21, continuing on. We're talking about Christ's glory and what we will be experiencing as Christians. Revelation 21 says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, the 12 angels at the gates, and the names on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who walked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its walls was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th gynet, and the 12th amethyst. And I cannot pronounce all these properly. Sorry about that. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each individual gate of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no more night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that is us Christians. That is us Christians. You know, continuing on, the Bible says it is a horrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Without Christ Jesus, you should be very scared. But with him, we as Christians can approach God's throne with boldness. Are you saved by Christ Jesus? Because if not, the lake of fire awaits you. And you sure do not want to go there. That's a horrible place to be. Well, if you don't know Jesus, let me share a couple passages in the Bible that might help you understand so you can come to him and give your life to Christ. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let me tell you, you don't want to be a might be saved. You want to be a be saved person. Continuing on, we look in Romans 10:9-10. And it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, salvation is so simple. I hope you listen and obey God's word and accept him before it's too late, because now is the time to accept Christ, not after the rapture. Because if you accept him then, you have to be killed, probably have your head cut off. But you don't want to go there. Accepting now, while we still have the opportunity. We could be gone tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. Thank you, Father, very much for allowing me to share your message today. Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.